matters of the heart. What are the matters of your heart? What are you dealing with right now? What's God dealing with inside of you? What's He working on? So last week we looked at God's heart and how He feels towards us. So we got to know the heart of God. God is love, of course. And this week we're going to look at 10 reasons David was called a man after God's own heart. In Acts 13, verse 22. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." Do you want to be found a man or woman after God's own heart and fulfill everything He would want you to do? I want to. I want to be that person. So I look at David often, I study David often, and I've compiled 10 reasons that I believe he was found to be a man after God's own heart. But before we get into that, let's check out this video. How many of you have been the Impala? Often we go about in our lives and we start getting a little bit messy, and instead of turning around and going to God, we continue in our mess until we're bogged down up to our neck in our sin and our filth, until we're upside down, until what we would call I hit rock bottom, and then we finally say, God, I need help. And God's willing to get in our mess with us. He's willing to come meet us wherever we're at. He's willing to come engage us. He's willing to climb into the mud pit with us and help us along and lift us and carry us and pack us and drag us and get us out of where we never should have been in the first place. But oftentimes, like this Impala, He gets us out and back to solid ground. And we think, okay, I'm good. I don't need You anymore, God. And we take off. And God's got a whole bucket of water. He's trying to wash us. He's trying to purify us. He's trying to clean us. He's trying to restore us and bring us back to our original state that He intended. But instead of staying and sitting in that uncomfortable position, because you know this Impala was not comfortable being washed by a man. He was not comfortable having water poured on his face and on his body and being rubbed down by a human being. And often we get uncomfortable in those situations. That's enough, God. Nope, I'm out. But the matters of a heart run much deeper than that. And if we're not willing to go through the uncomfortableness of allowing God to work within us, of allowing God to massage our heart and all the impurities out of it and get all the mud off of us, if you will, then we run away muddy and stained still, and we just got a little bit of relief. We didn't get redemption. We didn't get restoration. We got relief. Christ didn't come so you could have relief. He came so you could have restoration and redemption, complete wholeness, complete cleanness. And that's what we're talking about in this series. And David, as vile a man as he was at times, okay, he was an adulterer. He took another man's wife to be his own. He was a murderer. He sent her husband into battle so he would be killed. So those are pretty bad, right? Like usually those are people you don't hang out with. But then why is God so crazy to say, I have found a man after my heart? Because David, in those moments, when he would sin and become so filthy and dirty, he would return to God. Say, God, I've screwed up. I need You in my life. I need Your healing. I need Your cleansing. I need Your restoration. And he would always come back to God, no matter how bad he screwed up. He kept returning and returning and returning. So we have to learn to return, no matter how uncomfortable it gets. It's not easy to say, hey, God, I sinned, I screwed up. I defiled your laws, your commandments. It's not easy to admit that sometimes, but it's a must in our lives. We must come before God. We must repent. So here we go, 10 reasons David was called a man after God's own heart. He was humble. And we could look up piles of scriptures on these. I've just selected one scripture per word to save some time. But Psalm 62:9, low-born men are but a breath, and high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Sometimes God helps us out of our mess and we get back on solid ground and we think we're doing great. And pretty soon it's not, what? Look at what God just did for me. It's look what I did for me. Look how awesome RV is. Look how amazing I am. Look what I've overcome. And we lose focus of who we really are. We are but a breath. We are nothing. What makes us something is that Christ in us as our Lord and Savior. Now I'm something through Christ in me, not of myself. So my arrows should point to Him and not me. So be humble. David was reverent. Psalms 18:3. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Do you give praise to God only when He does something for you? Only when the sun shines and it's 80 degrees because that's what you prefer? Because I give praise to Him on days that it's 60 degrees and it's raining and cloudy. But I also give praise even on the hot days that I don't enjoy so much. So we should, in reverence to God, always be giving Him praise and honor and glory because of who He is, regardless of our situation, regardless of our environment or our surroundings. We should be reverent before Him because of who He is. The great I am. Period. Nothing else matters. He is. And I don't need to know anything else. I just need to trust and love. Number three, David was respectful. Psalms 31:9. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weary and weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. So David was respectful of God. He says, look at me in my mess, in my mud hole. I'm giving you place in my life to come speak to me, to come cleanse me, to come heal me, to come restore me. In our respect, we're showing our reverence. It's kind of our reverence in action, in respecting God. Do you cheer for God in the world around you when things go wrong or right? Do you say, go God? Yes, I hope so. Giving respect. Number four, trusting. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27:1. We've got to learn to trust God no matter what. Sometimes our trust in God is relevant to our situation. If it looks like He's helping me, if it looks like He's doing what I want Him to do, then I'll trust Him. But if He's not, then I'm not going to trust Him. I'm not going to believe Him. But if things are going good, obviously God is good, right? But if things are bad, God is bad? No. God is still good. We still have this earth, this life that we live that has good and evil in it. He promises all good in eternity in heaven with Him. So we get to suffer for 100 or 120 years here, or whatever God allows us to live out. And then we get to spend eternity where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more hurt, no more lying, no more deceit, no more you fill in the blank. But on this earth, we will have trouble. There will be good. There will be evil. But our trust in God must rise above all of that and say, God, you are good. God, you are love. God, you are great. God, you are mighty. So trust in God with all your heart. David was loving towards God. I love you, O Lord, my strength. And if you look all throughout the Psalms, David was constantly, I love you, I love you, I love you. Restore me to me. I have sinned and been apart from you, and I'm in agony. I want to get back with you. I want to be in your arms, your presence. I want to hear your voice. I want to feel you. Number six, devoted. Psalms 4, 7. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when the grain and new wine abound. So my devotion to God comes out of my heart, not out of what I have physically, not out of material possessions on this earth, or whether or not my freezer is full or empty, but my devotion comes out of my heart. God, no matter if I'm in prison against my will or for reasons I didn't commit or whatever, as Paul was, I'm still devoted to you. Whether they crucify me as they did Christ, Christ was still devoted to the Father and his will for his life. He said, God, let this cup pass from me if you will. But nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. So if we get down to the heart of Christianity, the matter of our heart, it's not always that our life's going to be a bucket of roses, but it's going to be our devotion to God and his will that will carry us through the hard times. And we might say, God, I don't understand and I don't get it, but I'm devoted to you and your plan and your will, and if it's your will, so let it be unto me. But if not, then let this cup pass. We can pray that just as Jesus did. And if it's his will, you're going to go through it. And it might get ugly and it might get scary, but he's going to be right there walking with you in it. So be devoted to God, not because of what you have, but again, because of who he is. David gave recognition, number seven, recognition. Psalms 9, 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. You know, I got to go experience this great hunt last week and shoot a great bull. And I've had so many opportunities to tell people about the blessing of God in my life through it. Because they see my photo on Facebook or whatever and say, hey, great elk, great bull, whatever. Like I say, yeah, God just really blessed me with that. Or rather, blessed me with gifts and abilities and talents to be able to go in the woods and find such a creature. But it's not because I'm so awesome. It's because of what God has put in me. So I give recognition to him and not to myself for what he has done. So if we start looking at everything in our lives, I'm not such a great businessman that I created this, but God put inside of me the knowledge to build this business and this company and have the ingenuity to design a product that we now sell or whatever. But it's because of what God has given to me. So in every aspect of our lives, giving recognition to God and who he is. Number eight, faithful. Psalms 23:6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We've got to be faithful. God, if things are going good, I'll go to church, I'll serve you, I'll read my Bible and pray. But when things get tough, I'm going to my mud pit. I'm going to go wade in neck deep and make you come get me. In the good times and the bad, we need to remain faithful. Whether Pastor Arby says something you like or don't like from the pulpit, you need to come talk to him and remain faithful. Because I have not called you to this body. Christ has called you to this body. So we should be looking beyond me or any other pastor, and we should be looking to the King, saying, I'm here out of my faithfulness to you. I'm here out of my devotion to you. I'm here to give you recognition. So it should be far beyond us. We should be looking a little higher as to who we're giving our faithfulness to, our recognition to. Number 9, David was obedient. Psalms 119:34. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Give me understanding. Do you ever pray that? I meet Christians all the time, and it really bugs me. I can't do that. I don't know. That's ignorance. Ignorance is all on you. God gives wisdom. God gives understanding. You have to seek Him for it. You have to ask Him for it, and He will deliver it to you. David's asking for it. He goes, obviously, I'm screwing up. I've committed adultery. I've killed people. God, give me understanding so I can obey your word. God, give me understanding so I can commit less sin in my life. Purify me before you. So we have to go. God will give it to us if we ask. Now, we don't know the avenue or channel He's going to bring it to us in. I've had some interesting rides when I've asked God for things. We don't have time to get into those today. But it didn't come about the way I thought it would in several situations when I was praying and asking God for something. But in the end, I looked back and said, I asked for this. God gave me what I asked for. It just didn't come pretty wrapped in a bow. It doesn't always. But ask Him. He will deliver. And final, number 10, David was repentant. Repent doesn't mean, hey, I'm sorry until it happens next time, and then just come tow me out of the mud hole again. When we truly repent, it means to burn away, to completely destroy and move on or rebuild. So Psalms 25:11, for the sake of your name, O God, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Say, God, I sinned. I'm sorry. I apologize. Will you forgive me? And we repent of what we've done. And God is faithful to forgive and faithful to forget. And God says, I've been waiting right here the whole time, Arby. Oh, yeah, let's get going again. Let's get moving again. There's not a 30-day trial period where He says, well, just I'll check you out in 30 days, Arby, and see if you're up to snuff. He says, no, you repented, I forgave, let's move forward. Let's get going somewhere. Let's move again. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, I'm going to go old school, back in the Old Testament. Verses 12 through 18. This is talking about freeing servants in the Old Testament time when there were servants. Because we as Christians are supposed to be slaves of Christ or servants of Christ, which means I have no rights. I work for nothing of my own but for His glory. So if any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year you must let them go free. And when you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally from your flock, from your threshing floors and your winepress. Give to them as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today. Verse 16. But if your servant says to you, I do not want to leave you, because he loves you and your family, and is well off with you, then take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he will become your servant for life. Do the same for your female servants. Do not consider it a hardship to set your servant free, because their service to you these 6 years has been worth twice as much as that of a hired hand, and the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. So in our heart, we are supposed to be that servant of Christ. And he's set us free. He's made provision for us. And some of us get out of the mud hole and the provision's there, and we take off before we get all the provision. We think, well, I'm free. I can go do whatever I want. But David had this servant heart. Said, I'm going to serve the Lord my God, regardless of what everyone else thinks. And if you go read the stories about David, he has some crazy stories. He said, even when set free, I'm going to return to my God, my King, and I just want to serve. I just want to bless. I just want to be a part of. And it says, the servant is worth twice as much as the hired hand in the devotion he gives, in the labor he gives, in the quality he gives. That's how we're supposed to be as servants of Christ. We should do twice as good, have twice as high a standard as anyone else. Because we're not working for a wage. We're working to glorify God. We're working to honor the King. We're working to reflect positively the love of Jesus Christ to our community, our valley, our region. So we should be engaging our hearts as a servant of Christ. Our hearts should be turned towards Him always in everything, never thinking that we've arrived. I don't know how many times I've heard over the last 10 years trying to hire people out at the ranch. Well, when you pay me more, I'll work harder. Really? Because right now you're getting twice what you're worth, is my thinking. But there's a lot of people out there that think, I will only work if I'm paid. And we don't understand service. And we don't understand servanthood. But as Christians, we should be the leaders in that. I've worked some of my toughest, longest jobs, hours, days, months, for the least amount of pay I've ever earned in my life. Because I wasn't serving me. I wasn't serving my boss. I was serving my King. And no matter what this looked like down here, I'm to bring glory to God. So what comes out of here, my grumbling and complaining about what a terrible job and my employer isn't paying me and so I'm not going to work very hard, that doesn't bring glory to God. So that should not be coming out of here. And what my hands are doing, if I have nothing to do, I should find something to do. Because idle hands are the devil's handiwork. Idle hands get me into trouble. Idle hands are what got David in the mess of adultery and then into murder. Because at the time when kings went out to war, David sent his army and stayed home in the palace. He should have been out doing the Lord's work, but instead he chose to stay home, which is where his trouble started. You and I should be out doing the Lord's work. We should be out being His servants to our community, to our region, to our friends, our family, our co-workers, rather than sitting idle and waiting for sin that is knocking at our door to defile us, to degrade us, to smear the name of God. But we should be about the Lord's work. We should be out when the kings go out to the time of war. That's what God has called us to be. His servants, wherever we're at, whatever we do, we should be about the Father's business. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pastor Kelly's going to speak the next couple of weeks on, I wrote them down here, hatred and anger 1 week, worry, fury, worry, fury, furry, worry, fear, and dread the following week. So come back. Let's deal with these matters of the heart. Let's get healed. Let's get whole. Let's get restored. And let's be about the Lord's work. Amen? Amen. I'm going to invite Wayne to come. He's going to close us today. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Arby. Great job. Morning, brothers and sisters. For anyone visiting, if you would open up your packet here, and we'll pull out this connection slip, and we'll go over.